From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? You should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. What you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Woo!
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico, this is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 24th of March, 2014. Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. I'd like to recognize associate producer Terry Weeks and the control room station engineer for this program is Cedric Harris. Oh, he just gave me a salute. I guess that buttering up works. I'm going to have to keep doing that. Oh, yeah. On Spectrum 360 in this edition, the focus of the program tonight is going to be, we have two focuses. It's going to be twofold. One focus is on the arts. As regular listeners to this program know, we cover politics, arts, and culture in this program. In that order, it's mostly politics, but it's also arts and some culture. Perhaps we need more acculturation. Perhaps some of our listeners are thinking that right now. Well, I hope not. But maybe you are. So that's going to be focus one. And focus two is on the environment. And segment one, we're going to have a number of aspects of the Gasparilla International Film Festival. The Gasparilla International Film Festival took place last week and this week, starting last Wednesday of last week, and lasted till Sunday of this week. So, we're going to have a number of segments from the Gasparilla International Film Festival. Films, interviews, speeches, etc. And then, the focus on the environment, we're going to have the hearing that was held on Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2014, which was also Election Day in some places in Florida. There was a Florida Department of Environmental Protection and a Federal Environmental Protection Agency hearing at the Golden Gate Community Center in Naples regarding fracking, hydrofracking for oil and gas and associated wells and regulations. We're going to have audio from the rally that took place before those hearings on March 11th. We didn't get it on last week's program because we talked so much about the hearings with Jennifer Rubiello and associate producer Terry Weeks, so we didn't have time to put it on. So we're going to have it on this week's program. Also going to have other segments related to that, too. And we're also going to throw in a little bit of music, as I like to do sometimes, to make it enjoyable and fun to listen to the program. So, without further ado, let's go to segment one. Segment one, of course, is on the Gasparilla International Film Festival, which took place this week and last week, Wednesday through Sunday, 5 days, starting last week on Wednesday evening, and then going till actually yesterday. I attended the Gasparilla International Film Festival. I was there for multiple days, saw multiple films, talked to a number of people, and it was very interesting. It's a great film festival. It's a film festival that is local, but it is international in scope. It does accept films from other countries for competition in the film festival, so that's why it's called an international film festival. It doesn't focus just on national films or Florida films. It's not just a state or national film festival. It's an international film festival, the Gasparilla International Film Festival. It's a great festival. It takes place in multiple locations, but the principal locations are the Cinebistro Theater in Hyde Park in Tampa, and then the Centro Ybor Movie Code 20 Theater in Ybor City in Tampa. And that's where most of the films are screened. There are other locations associated with it as well, located in the Tampa Bay area for the opening and closing parties. And there was actually some screening of films at the, I believe it was the Firehouse Cultural Center in Ruskin, Florida, which is in the Tampa Bay area, of course, which is, to my knowledge, is the first time that they've actually used that venue for films that were screened as part of the Gasparilla International Film Festival. Now, one of the films I saw, I want to focus on the documentary films that I saw at the film festival, because those are most interesting to me, and that's mostly what I saw there, although I saw multiple films. One of the most interesting film for me of the whole film festival, as a political activist, as an environmentalist, as a documentary filmmaker, which I also am, was the film The Human Experiment. Now, this film is a color production from the United States. It was produced in this country in 2013, just last year. Runs 91 minutes and was produced by KTF Films. Now, it was produced and directed by Dana Nachman and Don Hardy. It was written by Dana Nachman and then edited by Don Hardy. Don Hardy was present to present the film and answer questions about the film after the film screened. On Saturday. It screened Saturday afternoon, I believe it was 1 p.m. And it's a great film, very interesting. I'm going to read a brief description for you. One brief description is, this is how one website described it. It's an inconvenient truth, but about chemicals. Now, of course, inconvenient truth is referring to the environmental film that was produced by Albert Gore and a number of other people that was released a few years ago, I believe 2006. Here's a brief description of the film itself. The Human Experiment lifts the veil on the shocking reality that thousands of untested chemicals are in our everyday products, our homes, and inside of us. Simultaneously, the prevalence of many diseases continues to rise. From Oscar winner Sean Penn and Emmy-winning journalists Dana Nachman and Don Hardy, The Human Experiment tells these personal stories of people who believe their lives have been affected by chemicals and takes viewers to the front lines as activists go head-to-head with powerful and well-funded chemical industry. These activists bring to light a corrupt system that has been hidden from consumers until now. So that's a brief description of the film. It was included in the film festival. I really loved it. It's got very important information for people regarding their health. So this is something that everybody should be aware of and be paying attention to. But this is affecting every single person in this country. And there's some shocking statistics that have been included in the program, or in the film, rather. And I'll try to cover some of these after we play the audio of the preview of the film. Here's The Human Experiment.
I was diagnosed at 37 with invasive ductal carcinoma, stage 2. My cancer wanted to move.
We went in just to my OB-GYN, and she diagnosed me with polycystic ovarian syndrome. They have no idea why I have it, and I haven't been able to get pregnant. We've been trying for about 3 years now, almost. We're all exposed to so many things without our knowledge, and we end up with some type of health consequences like infertility or like cancer or like a learning disability, and we're like, oh, why do I have this?
You can't explain it by just genetics, right? Genetic drift does not happen in 20 years. So there has to be some type of other factor that's going on that explains this. And chemicals are certainly one thing that's gone up dramatically in the last 50 years. So that is a good candidate.
You can go through a few classic examples of real mistakes, of major mistakes, in which we allow these industries to get away with murder.
Too many people are affected by this. We need your help. This is a safety issue.
I'll be honest, I take offense when anyone would even insinuate that our industry is supporting an increase in the body burden of chemicals.
It does feel like somebody fell asleep at the red phone and it's been ringing.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention to what the hell is going on.
When you tell Americans that the Chinese have better protections than Americans do, they're shocked.
We need a movement around this because that's how things get done.
One, two, three, four, toxic chemicals, no more.
We shouldn't have to wait to get cancer, a reproductive problem, for this issue to change. It should change now.
The human experiment.
Thank you.
Yes, Industrial Disease. Of course, that's Dire Straits, the song Industrial Disease. I'm dedicating that to the United States chemical industry, the large corporations that make our chemicals. Boy, oh boy, that's a great song. I love it. I haven't heard that for a while either. I just had to play it tonight. Yes, I just had to play it. That's a great song, and it relates directly to the topic we're talking about tonight. Isn't that appropriate?
You can't handle the truth.
Yes, I think we can handle the truth. And that's why we're talking about it in this program. We are talking about industrial disease in the form of chemical pollution, as documented by the great documentary film, The Human Experiment. Okay, let's move on. There were other a documentary films screened in the Gasparilla International Film Festival. I'm going to briefly tell you what they were. The other films were also Antarctica, A Year on Ice, Cyber Seniors, The Machine Gun Preacher, that's an interesting one, The Longest Game, and The Tenaja Trail, about the trek that undocumented immigrants to this country take to get into the United States from Mexico. All good films, all interesting films. I believe it was The Longest Game that won the documentary competition. And I wanted to focus on another interesting documentary film, and that's Antarctica, A Year on Ice. Here's a brief description. Filmed over 15 years by frozen planet photographer Anthony Powell, the program, or rather the film, features a unique insider's point of view with unparalleled access and never-before-seen stunning footage of the deep Antarctic winters. Can you imagine what the winter is like in Antarctica? Well, it's in the film. It's a great film. 92 minutes, and was produced last year, and it is also making the rounds of the film festivals. The website for the film is frozensouth.com. Also, the website for the Human Experiment film is thehumanexperimentmovie.com. You can get a lot more information on those two websites. Again, it's frozensouth.com for the Antarctica A Year on Ice film, and then the Human Experiment film is thehumanexperimentmovie.com. Here's the audio of the preview for Antarctica, A Year on Ice.
It's the middle of summer, and right now, it's the middle of the night. It's the middle of winter, and right now, it's the middle of the day.
These might be the golden years of Antarctica.
I'll never forget the first time I stepped off the plane. It was like stepping onto the moon.
There's a lot of days when I think they just can't pay me enough to be here, but then there's other days when I think, wow, I can't believe I get paid to do this.
At the end of summer, once that last plane leaves, that's it. You're stuck here for the next 6 months. No way out.
And I do recall watching that last plane leave and going thinking, boy, I hope this is what I want to do.
For so many months.
I wanted to be there for my family. I needed to be there, and I couldn't.
I would love to be able to show the people who I love the most what it looks like down here, what the sky looks like down here in the winter.
Antarctica is so special, and if we're not careful, it could get ruined, like everything else.
There you have it. That's the audio of the preview or trailer for the film Antarctica, A Year on Ice. A very interesting film. I have not seen it yet. I wish I had. I tried to see it at the festival. It just didn't work the day that it was screening. I just couldn't get there that day at that time. But I recommend it to you. And I recommend the Gasparilla International Film Festival to you as well. There are many, many films that screen in multiple theaters over 5 days. It's a great time, and I highly recommend that you get involved and come and see films. It's happening every year. And this last one that just finished yesterday was the 8th annual. And we're going to continue to have them. And let's build a local international film festival into an even bigger and better festival every year. Also, I had the great fortune of meeting the actor, R.J. Mitty. Now, people who have watched cable television, and especially AMC or American Movie Classics, are probably familiar or have heard about the great television series that ran for 5 seasons and 64 episodes on AMC, Breaking Bad. Well, R.J. Mitty played Walter Jr., or as he was sometimes also known in the series, Flynn. And he attended the screening of a feature film that he appeared in, and it was called The House of Last Things. And after the film screened, he was given a Rising Star Award by the Gasparilla International Film Festival. And these are some comments that he had after or while receiving this award. Now, the award is kind of spear-shaped, so it'll explain some of the jokes that he makes during the acceptance speech that he gave.
Know and collaborate with for a long time, RJ. It's like a tip of a spear you can use as a weapon. Have you? Yeah, you took people out. Definitely. Hey, thank you all so much for coming and watching this film. We filmed this some time ago, and it really was a pleasure, and we made long-term friends. And the thing with being filmmakers and being people in this industry, and you work with a lot of people, and you work with a lot of people that you will either come to know or come to hate. And we were so lucky that Michael Bartlett, our director of this, and writer and creator and producer, and we invaded his home. We totally took over his world for a month, two months. And we have Lindsay Hahn in the audience, which is a lovely, lovely woman. And we really, making this movie, hate it or love it, we loved it. We had so much fun, and the friendships we made and the bonds that we made were truly remarkable. The liver cells that we killed. we fell in love with Portland. We thank Michael so much for bringing us there. And please.
No.
We really thank you all.
You've all seen this fellow in Breaking Bad. But you know what an incredibly kind, true friend this guy can be. I love him like a son. And I'm so proud. So proud.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Okay, there you have it. That was R.J. Mitty accepting his Rising Star Award at the Gasparilla International Film Festival. and a couple of funny comments as well. Yes, very interesting. It was a great time watching him get the award. I met him and talked to him a little bit. I was photographed with him and got his autograph, the whole celebrity thing. He's a great young man. He's only about approximately 20, 21 years old right now, so he's still a very young guy. He's got a great career going. He does have mild cerebral palsy, and for people that have challenges or disabilities, he's a great role model. But because here he is, growing up in the film and television industry, and he's being very successful, even with having what can be a serious illness with mild cerebral palsy. So he's a great role model and a great young man. I really like him. Otherwise known as Flynn or Walter Jr. from Breaking Bad. He's in the film The House of Last Things, and that is one of the things I wanted to talk about on this program. And here's a little bit more film-related music. In Key Largo, that's Bertie Higgins in Key Largo, Florida's own Bertie Higgins. All right, remember, listen to the Spectrum 360 podcast anytime online. Access the podcast at www.tantalk1340.com. Click on podcasts and click on Spectrum 360. More Spectrum 360 after break.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. Malaysian officials say that an analysis of satellite data makes them believe the plane that has been missing for 17 days crashed in the southern Indian Ocean. Even though weather conditions have been difficult, NBC's Tom Costello reports the search for the aircraft and black box will continue.
The U.S. Navy is now sending in a small, mini, unmanned submarine, along with essentially a pinger locator that will be towed by a ship. The job is going to be to listen for the pinger coming off of this emergency locator transmitter, they hope, or the pinger on the black box.
The death toll from a massive landslide in Washington State has risen to 14. Six additional bodies were found earlier today in the community of Oso, which is north of Seattle. NBC's Joe Fryer reports dozens of homes were destroyed when the hillside gave way on Saturday.
Search teams are trying to figure out how many people were home when the mudslide hit and how many were driving down State Route 530, which down the road is covered by mud.
This is NBC News Radio.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
On March 3rd last year, Henry W. faced his own death with incredible courage. He wasn't in an accident. He wasn't ill. He wasn't in any danger. But he faced this reality head on. If he died, his wife and children wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage, make the car payments, or keep up the life they'd had. His family would lose everything. So he picked up the phone and called AIG Direct. He found out that through AIG Direct, he could get a $250,000 policy for just $18 a month. Now, he knows that he's helped make his family's future secure, no matter what happens to him.
Protecting your family with coverage through AIG Direct is fast, easy, and incredibly affordable. Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-881-4982. That's 1-800-881-4982. 1-800-881-4982.
Join us on Tuesdays for Random Talk, where we talk about everything. I'm Jim. I'm a collectaholic. My website's at realart.net, R-E-E-L-A-R-T.net. And my colleague?
I'm Dr. Paul Cox, chiropractic physician.
And we want to hear from you about anything you want to talk about, because this is Random Talk.
Random Talk, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're talking to Donato. He's the owner and operator of Cafe Milano, an authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant. What do you mean when you say you have authentic Italian food?
Authentic because I learned all the simplicity, the authenticity of simple but powerful flavor. And it's authentic because we use only the ingredient imported from Italy. We are opening 11 o'clock in the morning till 11 at night, Monday till Saturday, and the Sunday we open 12 till 10 o'clock at night.
And you have beer and wine.
Beer and wine, beautiful imported Italian beer, Peroni, white wine, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, or the traditional red, which are the Merlot, Montepulciano, Chianti, and Pinot Noir.
I can't recommend it highly enough. It's Cafe Milano, located at 105 North Fort Harrison in Clearwater, Florida. Phone number 305-519-6910. Mention Tan Talk Radio Network and get free ice cream. Thank you, Donato.
Grazie.
Are you looking for a job? Join me, Gene Hodge, on the Employment Opportunity Hour, Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m., where I will tell you and share with you, as well as answer all of your questions and help you find enjoyable employment instead of a job. This is the only talk show that talks about everyone who makes up our workforce. Join me on the Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Employment Opportunity Hour.
Here's Downtown Dave for the Bay Area Renaissance Festival.
Hey, Tampa Bay, it's time for the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. It's now going on weekends at MOSI from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in New Tampa, and it runs until April 8th. The festival will continue weekends from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and features 7 themed weekends, 12 entertainment stages, more than 100 artisan booths for fabulous shopping. Also see armored jousting and enjoy great food and drink. Make plans now to attend the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. The festival is located at MOSI, 46th Street and Fowler in New Tampa. Bring the family, bring your friends to the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Parking is always free at the festival, and it's open weekends now from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. till April 8th. Be there for food, fun, and entertainment. That's the 2014 Bay Area Renaissance Festival. Open now. WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 24th of March, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. Welcome back. And I do want to recognize associate producer Terry Weeks and control room station engineer Cedric Harris as well. Yes, they do great work, and I appreciate working with them.
Follow the yellow brick road.
My God, so you are a character that you are. There's never any telling what you'll say or do next.
Well, that's kind of true. You never know what's going to be on this program. We have a lot of fun here. We do cover politics, arts, and culture, and we mix it all up together with comedy and sound segments and music, and we have fun with it, don't we? Now, I want to continue with the film theme of this program for a few more minutes. I've got some audio from the awards ceremony from the Gasparilla International Film Festival, and this gives you a little bit more of a sense of the film festival itself and who's involved in it, and just exactly what goes on, and some of the awards are one as well. I'm going to have a more comprehensive coverage of the awards next week. This is basically just the introduction to the awards ceremony itself. Just gives you a little bit more information about the festival.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing? This is actually the first time doing a fest. I'm nervous. Like, I'm really nervous. It's one of those like mixed feeling things. I mean, I love all you guys. I mean, we've been through this. You know, we've been watching your films for months now. So you guys are the ones that our festival selected out of 600 films. So before we go through all this, let's give yourselves a round of applause. This is, you know, hard. It's the end of the festival, and, you know, there's, you know, you guys are all going to go on your own journey and visit other festivals. Many of you, this is your first festival. You know, we're honored for all the, you know, the films that premiered with us, world premiere, Florida premiere. It's been exciting. It's been great. We had a few hiccups, but that's what a festival's about. I hope you guys really enjoyed yourselves here. First, I'll go through the grand jury. You guys, they're all in the book. But I wanted to acknowledge that we actually built this thing the last few years. It's come a long way, this festival. We have a great grand jury that have watched your films. And you know, we're going to go through the audience awards as well. First, we have actor, producer, director, everything else. Ryan Onan, who's watched your films. He goes by Bibbs, William Bibbiani from Crave Online. The guy's great, guy's a genius. Right here, I'll point him out, Steve Purcell, right up here, South from Tampa Times. Amazing film critic in the state of Florida. Joe Barty from Creative Loafing, local, is great. Young aspiring actress Castile Landon. One of my best friends, actor, and he's, you guys will definitely, you've seen him on TV and in movies, Andre Holland. University of South Florida professor, film studies professor, Dr. Phil Seporia. The founder and a producer of Movie Geeks, Jamie Duvall. Filmmaker magazine contributing editor Lauren Wissock. A guy who's not here this year, but he's been a loyal fan of our fest for many years, writing about us and covering it. A great friend of mine. He actually moved on to writing about for WWF or WWE. Yeah, he's been posting on Facebook. He's like, I miss this place. Joe Bel Castro. The director and star of the Closing Night film that hopefully you guys will see today, Charles Chu. This person's been involved from the festival from the first year. She's with HBO, one of the heads of programming, Leslie Cohen. And another, like, he was the head of film at University of Tampa. Now he's in Houston. This guy's been done so many films, from producing to distributing. Tom Garrett. And last is a person that we met at Sundance this year. She's a writer, director. Her film won Berlin 2 years ago with John Hawks, Olivia Silver. Okay.
Okay, that gives you a flavor of what happened at the award ceremony for the Gasparilla International Film Festival. It was a lot of fun. I attended the award ceremony, and there were a lot of awards given out. They were rather pointed and spear-shaped. That's why the R.J. Mitty made that joke about taking people out with the award, because I guess they could be used as a weapon. Yeah, it was funny. It was a funny moment in his acceptance speech when he got the Rising Star Award at the film festival. And here's a little bit more music that you can enjoy. When we set up the next segment, we're going to switch gears in a little bit here, and we're going to switch to our environmental topic and have a few minutes of our environmental coverage for you. And we're going to have a lot more of that on the next week's program, as well as more coverage of the Gasparilla International Film Festival. So you'll want to stay tuned for that, because there's a lot of interesting things that that we cover on this program. And you want to stay listening so you catch it all.
Special.
Yeah, it's special. That's for sure. Okay, a little more music for your listening delight. Yeah, making movies on location. That's what I'd like to be doing, and that's what a lot of people did to get into the Gasparilla International Film Festival. There were a lot of films there, believe you me, and there was a lot of good ones. I really enjoyed the ones I saw.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could...
Well, if I had a brain, maybe I could do a radio show. Yes!
I like them French fried potatoes.
Yes, so do I, Billy Bob Thornton. I do, too. I just hope we can cop things down and get to our environmental subject next. We'll have to see. Ah, well, there's somebody who disagrees. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to do it anyway. Okay, now we're going to switch gears to our next focus for the finishing up the program here, and that's environment. We do a lot of environmental coverage on this program. I am, as well as being a radio journalist, I'm also an environmental activist. I have been for many years, permaculturist, and these are comments that people said at the rally before the Department of Environmental Protection and Environmental Protection Agency hearing on Tuesday, the 11th of March, 2014, at the Golden Gate Community Center, where the hearings were held, all 4 hours worth, by the EPA and the DEP. And this is about fracking. So here's what people had to say at the rally before that event started. This is from Tuesday, 11th of March, 2014.
Meeting on the exploratory oil well that services the injection well. I don't know how. at once, but we'll try. Groups have mobilized from across the state for this event. And we could do a quick shout out right now to the various groups. We're the Stone Crab Alliance from Naples.
Greenpeace from Lakeland.
That was Greenpeace from Lakeland.
Conservancy of Southwest Florida.
They've got a clean water petition for you to sign.
Gulf Restoration Network, St. Petersburg.
Broward County.
Great.
And more groups?
Rethink Energy Florida in Tallahassee.
Food and Water Watch for Lauderdale.
Democratic Environmental Caucus, Jacksonville.
And I know we've got our clean water advocates from Fort Myers.
Clean Water Initiative, Lee County.
Florida Water and Land Legacy from Hernando County.
Any more groups?
Let's not forget Preserve Our Paradise, the one group that hired an attorney to stop these people dead cold. So we will make a difference, and we thank you all for coming here.
South Florida Audubon Society is here as well.
Responsible Growth Management Coalition, Save Our Creeks, and Environmental Confederation of Southwest Florida.
Yeah. And South Florida Wildlands Association. Yeah. Concerned Citizens for Clean Water from St. Augustine, Florida. Yeah. Thank you all for traveling the distance. We're calling on the EPA to deny this Class 2 injection well and the DEP to reverse their decision and deny the exploratory well. Our point is that injection and this new type of extreme drilling that uses horizontal directional drilling, acidizing, and if needed, fracking, and destroys 5 million gallons of water per month per well is not safe. Not here, not anywhere. Ask Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia, the front lines for fracking and injection wells. Accidents happen. Over time, pipes leak, injected fluid surface, and even cement casings fail, as EPA mechanical integrity tests show again and again and again. Because it only takes one incident to taint or even ruin a community's aquifer, injection is not in the public interest. You can't clean up an aquifer. Deny this permit. Don't turn the Everglades into an industrialized dead zone and a single shade of gray. Anyhow, they're about ready to open inside. The logistics is we have all sorts of petitions near the door. We have cookie tables. We'll have pizza afterwards. Let's see, Jennifer, anything I'm missing?
If you haven't signed in, we do have a voluntary sign-in sheet. If you want to keep abreast of what will be happening after the hearing, that's over there, media as well.
So in the main auditorium, to start with, is the DEP, Big Cypress Swamp Advisory Committee. The federal EPA will be down the hall in room B. They'll be in the auditorium at 6:30 for the public hearing, but they'll have a sort of open house where you can go ask questions, look at signs, and that sort of thing. We also have stickers that say, don't trash our water, as a sign of solidarity. Anything else I'm missing?
I'm Craig Wilson with Windjammer Energy. It's the future of energy. We're going to put natural gas, oil, coal, and all that other nasty stuff out of business.
Hi, this is Matthew Schwartz with South Florida Wildlands Association. And a big thanks to everybody for coming out here today. You guys have been on my Facebook page, getting my emails. I'm getting emails not only from Florida, from Wisconsin, from California. Last night I got one from New Zealand. This is happening everywhere. This is really happening everywhere. Crude oil is $100 a barrel. There's a lot of money to be made out there, and I know that. And that's what this is all about. If the Colliers are listening to this program, this is Collier Resources. They're leasing out. They have over 800,000 acres of mineral rights in the Big Cypress area. It includes most of the Big Cypress National Preserve, the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge, the Picayune Strand State Forest, the Takahashi Strand, the Crew Lands, and even the Audubon Corkscrew Swamp Sanctuary. All of that land has mineral rights owned by Collier Resources, and they have decided to go for broke. They're going all in. They're trying to get all of it permitted. This is one well we're talking about right now, just one oil well, less than a mile from the Florida Panther National Wildlife Refuge. We showed the DEP all the telemetry. There's panthers all over the place. There's den sites all over the place. We need to stop this. Thanks all for coming out.
Yes, get the frack out of Florida. That's what we need. What's happening down in Naples is a very serious situation. And, you know, we have to be more careful about the environment because groundwater is essential for human civilization. And what's happening down there basically is just...
inconceivable!
Yes, it is. And when it comes to caring for an aquifer, you want to know that it's going to be safe and it's not going to be injected with chemicals from fracking and destroyed, perhaps permanently, for future generations. We have to be sure about this. We absolutely have to be sure that we can preserve the aquifer.
No, we don't want to think. We want to know.
Yes, sir. That's exactly what we want to do. Also, I want to play... a segment from the Environmental Protection Agency hearing and more comments from Greg Wilson. You heard Greg Wilson at the rally. Greg Wilson is with Windjammer Energy. He has a wind invention that can provide a lot of electrical power and can be propagated and put all over the state and the country and excuse me, and the world. Very interesting man. And you heard him speaking about Windjammer Energy during the rally segment that I just played. I also have this comment at the Environmental Protection Agency hearing from Greg Wilson himself, where he talks a little bit more about what was happening at the hearing and his invention and what his vision for the future of energy is.
All right, Greg Wilson, I can talk to you all about fracking and all the other things, science behind it. I have a new invention. Comes on the wind. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to put fracking and the oil companies out of business. I'm going to make it all obsolete. Yeah! We're going to do away with the stinky, nasty oil and gas that we're and coal that we're having to deal with and the nuclear energy. We don't need it. We can move forward. What we got to do is get rid of the people in our government that are corrupt and they just don't want anybody to mess with their monopoly. Yeah. This can happen. This is what I can do. My invention can grow. Every time somebody talks to me about it, they add another thing to it. So it can keep growing, and it will work with solar, and we don't need to go back and keep fighting wars that we don't need to fight for oil. It's got to end. When time goes by and the sky turns black and the birds are dead from polluting the world and all the fish are caught and the rivers are dead and black and you can't drink the water and you can't breathe the air, what are you going to do? You got your kids and your grandkids. What are you going to tell them? Are you going to tell them to eat money?
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen?
No.
Because that's a bad way to go. And I just want to let you know, there is a better way to live, and there's much more we can do without being addicted to the monopolies we have in this country now. Thank you very much.
You can't just wish and hope for something to come true. You have to make it happen.
Yes, that's true. We have to make it happen. We have to stop fracking in the state of Florida and in this country nationally. It's a tremendous threat to the groundwater. Groundwater is absolutely essential for the human body and for human civilization. We can't destroy the water resources and then continue to live in the places that we live. So that's an important issue. We're going to have on next week's Spectrum 360 program, we're going to have more segments from the hearings that the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency did conduct on Tuesday, the March 11th, 2014, in Naples. Those hearings went on for 4 hours, 2 hours apiece, 2 hours for the DEP hearing, 2 hours for the EPA hearing. They were very long. I stood up operating a video camera for almost the entire time. And there were a lot of people speaking, and all the people that were there were 100% against fracking and continuing with this this dangerous situation down in Naples. And there were people from all over the state, not just the local area, and maybe not just the Native Americans that live in that area, as you might expect. There were environmental groups and individuals from all over the entire state that converged there. There were approximately 275 people at the EPA hearing and about 225 at the DEP hearing, and I believe that was actually more than was allowed by fire code, but there was a lot of police there, and they kept monitoring things so that people were safe in the room. But I believe the room was actually maxed out or possibly slightly over what was actually fire code for the occupancy of that room. So that's what's going to happen on next week's Spectrum 360. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Spectrum 360. We appreciate it. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com, search for Spectrum 360 radio program, click on the like button. And remember the podcast anytime. Listen to this program via podcast. It's very, very convenient. Spectrum 360 will continue next week. Woo! Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360radio program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.
We can make it happen. We can.